That was James Harden, AT&T Sportsnet on the call. And we'll definitely get into James Harden and a bunch of NBA topics with Eric Pinkus, who is on our HRNP hotline right now. Real quick before we do that, breaking news in the Major League Baseball world. Manny Machado has agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres, according to Jeff Passan. So that deal is finally over. Manny Machado, after playing several seasons for the Orioles and one with the Dodgers, has agreed to terms with the San Diego Padres. Interesting move, and we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. But first, let's bring Eric Pinkus to the HRMP hotline, because there's a bunch I want to talk about with him in terms of James Harden, contract situations, everything that's going on in the NBA, and he's a perfect person to do that. He is the NBA capologist for Basketball Insiders and NBA TV. He's also the lead Lakers writer for Bleacher Report. He is Eric Pinkus. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric Pinkus. Eric, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, man. So James Harden is continuing to get a lot of hate. I don't know if it's warranted or not. I've talked to you about James Harden in the past before, but he's obviously having another career year. And he was on ESPN and did a little bit of an interview, an exclusive interview, and I guess kind of made an excuse for himself, if you will, that the reason why he had to go on this streak is because of the situation, because of the roster, because of the injuries and whatnot. Where are you on this James Harden situation? And do you think this is the right approach right now, given the situation, if you're the Houston Rockets?
Well, they were struggling, and a lot of the struggles were legitimate struggles because of injury. You lose Capella, who isn't a 20-point-a-game guy, but he's been an important scorer for that team off of that pick and roll. And then you lose Chris Paul, who's essentially the engine, or supposed to be the engine, that drives that thing. He's the reason why they don't have to be the James Harden show only. They brought in Chris Paul so that when they get to the playoffs and regular season, that Harden can be the threat that he is, but doesn't have to bring up the ball, doesn't have to be and throw your whole team at and ignore everyone else. And they also lost Trevor Ariza in free agency and some other moves. I think in a way hurt them. I don't think it was a great summer. They got Carmelo, Pan out, etc. But all that said, James Harden's still one of the best scorers in modern times, right? So letting him score is not a bad thing. And him carrying the team with Chris Paul, not himself yet, still trying to get back, I would expect he'll be stronger after this All-Star break. I root for all teams to be healthy so we can see the best of what the league has to offer. Hopefully he'll be healthy, and I don't like Harden as the do-everything scorer in the playoffs. I think that's very guardable. Even if he scores a lot, he's not going to score enough. He's going to have to score, 80 points, right? I don't think that's going to be consistent. So if they get Capella back healthy and Chris Paul, I think balance is needed, and I think they will find that balance. I don't know if they're good enough defensively to do as well as they did last year, but I don't really have a problem with Harden carrying the team in the meantime.
Is the fear that James Harden, when he gets the entire team back and everybody is healthy, and he starts to play team basketball more, for a lack of a better term, is the fear that when he goes to that approach of more team basketball, that transitional period may be detrimental going into the postseason and preventing them to kind of create the momentum that they need going into the playoffs? Is that the fear?
I mean, to me, it's not as much about fear as much as, like, reality. Like, they just had too many injuries. And so you have to take a step back if you're James Harden. You have to, because it's just, historically, it hasn't worked. And we've seen it. It'll work in some games, but you get towards the end game situation, and they start blitzing Harden when he's trying to get the ball across half court. And if you don't have another guard who can really bring that ball up, that's a problem. But now you've got Chris Paul, so that takes that away. Now you have to try to blitz Chris Paul and James Harden. I mean, how does that work? Becomes a lot harder to defend. And then you have all the role players, and Daryl Morey's done a good job of trying to scramble to try to bring in additional pieces to try to help this team. And we'll see as they wrap up. But you can't worry about the step backs. The step backs happened because of injuries. It's more about how do you manage them and how do you improve and how do you get back to that right optimal point where James Harden is still James Harden, but Chris Paul's able to do his thing, and you're including everybody else on that team to a degree. At least guys who are contributing, Eric Gordon, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not too worried about the Rockets offensively. I think it's really, like I said, can they get stops? They lost some key defenders from last year. But they did add Kenneth Faried lately, you know, recently, and when he goes, I assume, to the bench, when Capella's back, they're a deeper team.
We're speaking with Eric Pincus here on the HRMP hotline, ESPN 97.5, ESPN975.com. I'm super intrigued by the contract situation in the NBA, just because they're getting bigger and bigger. A couple of years ago, obviously, they were able to sign a massive TV deal that increased the salary cap from, I think, something like in the $71 or $72 million ballpark all the way up to like the 90s. And now you're in a situation where a lot of teams, one or two players are consuming most of the salary cap. In the Rockets situation, it's obviously Chris Paul and James Harden. With the way the salary cap goes up every year, is it ever going to be possible where you find like three max players or three very highly paid players on a team, or is that pretty much impossible?
Well, what we're seeing, I mean, there's been an increase in players. It's so proportional, right? So it's not like it's hard. I mean, back then, you had the same ability to have two or three guys because it would be 20 or 22 or 23, 24, and that would be their top guy. And some maxes would be $15, $16 million for the lower guys, the younger guys. So what we're seeing is just a higher scale. But it's the same, basically the same equation. And the challenge is finding a young guy on a rookie contract, like a Donovan Mitchell or something like that, that you can max out. Because right now, first round picks, they're cheaper. They're inexpensive. So it's a lot easier to build up that way. And that's really how the Warriors got to be what the Warriors are. You bring up the point of when the cap spiked. It spiked from about 70 to 94. That was the year that they weren't paying Steph Curry a ton of money because he had some ankle troubles. So his contract was a little bit lower. And they had Clay and they had Draymond Green. These are all guys that they had up from their own contracts as rookies. And timing just worked out perfectly for them. They were able to go out and get KD. That was an extreme. And so they have four. But if you look at the Knicks and you look at the Lakers and you look at the Clippers, these are teams that could potentially get to three max. And the way that the Knicks could do it would be to sign two max guys and then you trade out all the remaining pieces for, let's say, Anthony Davis, right? So that would be Kevin Knox. That would be Dennis Smith Jr. Everybody that they basically have on their roster. For the Lakers, it would be signing someone like Kawhi or Kyrie and then, again, trading Lonzo and Kuzma and Ingram, et cetera, et cetera. The Clippers, they're in a position where they would have to trade out Danilo Gallinari and probably Lou Williams or whatever, but they could get to three. Not that they would, I don't even know if that would be where they would want to go, but it's a theoretical possibility. So, but it's hard and the timing has to be just right. And it's rare, but I think the strategy the teams have taken after seeing what Miami did with LeBron and Wade and Bosch and seeing what the Warriors have done, there's a general belief that you're not as likely to get one star. And so you want to try to budget for two stars to come together and hope that they pick to come and play for you. And the Lakers thought that Paul George would come with LeBron. Didn't happen. It's out of the team's control, but you want to be in that position so that you can offer two max guys to come together. And I think that's really where the Knicks are and the Clippers are. And the Lakers with LeBron are saying, okay, we have money to have someone join up with LeBron. We'll see if it works out this summer for them.
I feel like the ideal situation, and correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, is that the salary cap goes up kind of in proportion to the way some of these contracts are going up year to year in terms of pay. So like you look at the Chris Paul situation. He gets $35 million this year, $38 the following, $41 the following, and then $44 million. Does it feel like the salary cap is not increasing quickly enough for some of these contracts that are going up $3 or $4, $5 million each and every year and going up to numbers as high as $41 and $44 million with the likes of Chris Paul and John Wall? Do you think the salary cap is not going up as quickly enough as it should?
I mean, it's a complex topic to say that it's not going up enough. Like, for instance, John Wall is a different story because he starts, after, even though he has major injuries right now, he starts a Supermax contract, an extension this year. So his contract takes a huge jump because of the mechanism of how they gave him an extension, one that they didn't have to give at that level. A typical contract, when you sign another team's player, goes up by 5%. And that's roughly what the league projects the salary cap to go up each year, give or take. So when you re-sign your own player, for instance, James Harden, talking about the Rockets, you're going up by 8% each year. So his contract should be up at a higher rate than the salary cap. And when someone's extension kicks in, it's going to go up in many cases, at least 20%, if not more. And it depends on the circumstances. But again, if it's going up 20%, that's way more than the salary cap, right? So it's going up 5%. Now, it went up a tremendous amount a couple of years ago in 2016. And then there are some other things that made it go up at different rates because teams weren't able to spend enough money. So that pushed the salary cap up artificially. It's part of the process. It's just the way that the mechanism works. I don't know if we're ever going to, I mean, eventually there's some level of balance, but this last year it didn't go up as much. This next season is going up a little more than we thought, so, or at least it's projected to by the NBA this summer. So it's always going to fluctuate. It constricts at times, it expands at times. Mostly you want to see, if you're an NBA fan, you want to see more and more income because it means the business is healthy and the sport is bringing in a lot of money. And the players are going to get roughly 50% of that. So the money's going to be there. Teams are going to have it. It's going to continue to grow. I don't think it's not intended to grow. The player salaries are supposed to grow a little bit faster than the salary cap itself.
It's interesting. It just seems like it makes it more difficult for the owner. I mean, I'm looking at Aaron Gordon's contract, and I'm just so intrigued by the contract situations in the A. But Aaron Gordon's contract, 21 in the first year, and then it goes down each and every year, 19, 18, 16. Is that a new trend, or is that just something that the Orlando Magic was able to do, just out of curiosity?
That's entirely up to the team and the player, right? So if you can do that, that's typically the best thing to do, right? Because as you go into the future, in the case of Orlando, they weren't in win-now mode, so they had extra money to spend now. And as they improved, the goal would be to build around Aaron Gordon and get better and need to have more money to spend. So, and we've seen when the Lakers signed Mozgov and Deng, they were both bad contracts, but they descended at the key time when the Lakers thought they would need cap room again. Obviously, that was ill thought out regardless, but there are definitely players who have flat contracts. Lou Williams is $8 million flat every year. It's really subjective. If you're a player, I think you agree to a dollar, and then it's up to the, I mean, some agents might have it, want it some way. The idea is that if you're making the most at the end of your contract, technically you'll be potentially eligible for the most money. If you're not a max guy, I don't think it really matters. In most cases, because of bird rights, players should be able to resign for enough. If you're making 18 or if you're making 22 or whatever, it shouldn't be a different, real significant difference. So it's very subjective. And the challenge is, why don't you do everybody? If there are going to be five teams bidding for Kyrie Irving and they're all starting at the max, and you say, well, we want to descend, well, he's going to make less than a team that's paying him to get raises every month. And if there's competition, he's not going to go to the team that's going to pay him less. He's going to go to the team that pays him more. So it only works in certain circumstances.
All right, real quick, because we only got about 30 seconds, Eric. Anthony Davis, it looks like the team is going to decide and go ahead and play him despite not being able to make a move before the trade deadline. What do you do if you're the Pelicans? What do you do if you're Anthony Davis?
I think for all parties, he should come down with a minor injury that they can reasonably claim they can't play him through. But that said, if he wants to play, they got to play him. That's essentially the league's position, and I think that's what's going to happen. I do think at some point they are going to find a way to shut him down, and I think they'll go along with that and move on. And this is, he will no longer be in there, and come July, he'll be somewhere else. That's for sure.
Eric Pincus, always friendly with his time, does a fantastic job for Basketball Insiders, NBA TV, and Bleacher Report. Be sure to give him a follow at Eric Pincus on Twitter. Eric, thank you so much for the time, man.
All right, anytime. Thanks for asking.